in the month of June, we have reached out to both parties to have to come on the program this month. We're not going to wait till it gets cold to start talking about the 2014 local elections, but we're going to start doing it now. And so we've reached out to both the Democrats and Republicans to have their candidates for the countywide offices, which includes prosecutor and clerk and auditor and assessor, as well as sheriff, to come on the program in the month of June. Emmett Carney is the Republican candidate for Marion County Sheriff, and he joins me live. Mr. Carney, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Brother Brown.
I saw you on Election Day. We was having peace out in the Forest Manor neighborhood.
It was a good time.
Let me first ask the standard question we have with all the candidates, and there are a lot of people listening that this would be their first opportunity hearing you. Why are you running?
I'm running because I've got 30 years of federal, 30 years of law enforcement experience, 25 with the federal government, Department of Justice with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms as a special agent. I was a special agent here in the Southern District of Indiana. My cases took me all over the U.S. And prior to that, I was a Kentucky State Trooper for 5 years. I was assigned to the road, the academy staff. And I'm running because I feel like that I would be the person to help be a better public safety partner to the citizens of Marion County, and not only doing the sheriff's job, I like to be more involved with the community also. I got some pretty good programs, I think, would kind of help with guys that are reentry into the world, and also maybe on the juvenile detention side also.
If the voters of Marion County elect you as the next sheriff, what would be your priorities? And you just mentioned some programs that you would like to institute as the elected sheriff. What would be your priorities?
The first priority would be a better public safety partner, and maintain the, or stay within our lanes. There's five responsibilities that the sheriff's department has, and first will be best and will be first. If we could just do those five responsibilities and then try to branch out and help out in other areas.
In your view, what are those responsibilities?
The responsibilities of jail, of course, the serving of warrants, security of the buildings, sexual offender registry, and serving warrants.
You mentioned some other programs. How would the programs that you would like to implement, because I think one of them you talked about, reentry, fit into those 5 points?
Well, what it'll do is I kind of consider it crime prevention. If we can institute these programs and get it off the ground and get people to buy into it, maybe we can help guys get out, help them from returning to the Marion County Jail. I think I saw a pay stat that said that there's probably maybe 47% of the people revisit the jail again after getting out. So my goal is to try to tackle this problem on the reentry side, but also on the juvenile side. I met with a sociologist from Hamilton County named Mr. Patrick Jameson. He has a 90-day transition program that he's doing in Hamilton County that would the guys who are scheduled to get out of the jail in 90 days to help them be prepared during that time to make that transition.
In a county jail, there's two types of inmates. They're inmates that have been found guilty of very minor crimes that are locked up there, just as you said, for maybe 20, 30, 40, 90 days.
Yes, sir.
Then the bulk of, and correct me if I'm wrong, the bulk of the people in the jail are those who are legally innocent, but they are incarcerated awaiting trial.
Yes, sir.
How can, I can see how you can, that how programs for those who have been sentenced for very, for those kind of small offenses, and they're there for 30, 60, 90 days, I can see where programs would help and maybe help turn them around, but isn't it a different mindset of somebody locked up, charged with a crime, who may believe that they're innocent of the crime? What kind of programs can you do with those people who may be in the jail, if you become the sheriff, your jail, for like a year, year and a half, awaiting trial? What can you do to change their mentality? Because their mentality is, hey, if I catch a break, I'm going to walk. You see my point?
I do. Well, we got to work with all of them. And I think it's like anything, you got to change the mentality. You got to change their mental state of mind. The one thing that I keep hearing is people talk about people being habilitated. Well, if you look up that definition, you know, you got to think about what they keep saying about rehabilitated. But rehabilitated means to bring back to that natural form or state in which they were. Well, we've got people who've never been habilitated, so we got to figure out a way to educate them and find out more or less how they tick, why they're in there. And a lot of these subjects, I believe, have mental issues. I think those sometimes go unnoticed also.
Emmett Carney is the Republican candidate for Marion County Sheriff. And the best I know, there's only two people running. I don't think the Libertarians were running a candidate for sheriff. So this is a classic two-individual race, and your opportunity to ask the questions of the individual that could be the next sheriff of Marion County. Three ways to do it. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com. That's praiseindy.com. Or you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, 37890, keyword Amos, or 239-1310, 239-1310, because anytime we have a candidate on, it's not just for me asking the questions. I see these folk all the time. It is your opportunity to ask the question, because your question is probably a heck of a lot better than the question that I'm going to ask. Let me start with Regina and Emmett Carney at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello. I have two questions. The first one is, how can you find out who controls the probation office? I mean, if it's a public or is it a private entity?
Probation is a public...
I mean, not probation, prosecutor, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait.
The prosecutor's office.
Oh, the prosecutor's office?
Yes, and...
You elect them. You elect them this year, too.
Okay, and the probation office, because I know some of them, they are private.
I don't think the probation office is private. The probation officers, both at the county level, correct me if I'm wrong, Emmett Carney, and at the state level, are all public employees. They work for the taxpayers. They work for the taxpayers.
Okay. Now, my next thing is, what I don't understand is they're constantly talking about reentry and all these programs they have for guys who have done something wrong or, you know, something minor. Why is it at the beginning when a child or a young man has a misdemeanor or something, they do everything in their power to turn it into a felony, to set them back? I mean, the prosecutor goes for blood. The probation officer goes to blood. Nobody is trying to help. And I don't understand, when did we start getting to the point where we were just throwing our young men out there?
All right. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
All right, let me let Emmett Carney respond. Oh, as he's responding, Fox 59 is now reporting that the suspect in the shooting in Arsenal Tech is in custody, according to the tweet from Fox 59. Police say he turned himself in, waiting for some more. So there's some good news in terms of that situation that we've been watching the last hour. So, Emmett Carney?
I'm not qualified to answer that question. I think that would be better for the Marion County prosecutor.
Well, see, that's the thing. All of y'all work together, and it just seems like nobody really cares, and nobody wants to answer the question, and I can't figure out how to find out what I need to do.
Do you have a particular example that brings this up, or is this more general?
I have a particular example, but it's an ongoing case, and I know you don't like us to talk about ongoing cases.
Yeah, you're right, and I like a listener that remembers what the rules are.
But it's just, I mean, something simple. Well, I can put it, I change it up a little bit. Okay, a youth was caught with stealing something.
Okay.
Okay. Doing the time, doing the probation, doing all that. Then what happens is the police put a case on him, which is total bogus. Everybody knows it, but nobody wants to say it. And then now what they want to do is give him the plea of not making it a misdemeanor, which in turn it into a felony.
And the person does not have enough evidence to demonstrate in court that he is not guilty of what the police say?
Yeah, we have plenty of evidence, but the sad thing about it is it doesn't really matter anymore. And that's the sad thing about it. I mean, there's plenty of listeners out there, I can tell, that can call in and tell you. It doesn't seem like what's right or wrong anymore is what they want to do in the political part in it. It's getting ridiculous.
Let me rephrase maybe her question, Regina's question, Emmett Carney. If you're elected sheriff, how do you rebuild the trust of the criminal justice system for people like Regina who believe that somebody does wrong and then in their minds, police are trying to charge the person with a higher crime to get a felony conviction, and they just feel the system is stacked against them?
I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, it's been my experience that it comes down to what the guidelines said, you know, what I'm used to on the federal side. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at it that way. Is the U.S. attorneys have what on the federal side, what they want to have to go forward. These guys, I think they see cases every day. And I think it's just that they're going to do their job. And if they don't do their job, then they're going to be held accountable.
Let me go to Mary at 239-1310. Hi, Mary.
Yes, Amos. I don't know if anyone else feels the way I do or not about this, but is there ever going to be a time when the police don't chase people through the city like they do and cause accidents, even though they're after a criminal? Can't they get the criminal later?
Hmm. That's an interesting point. In the 5 points that you talk about for sheriff, if you're elected, one of them is serving warrants.
Yes, sir.
Using her example, what would happen? Your guys serve a warrant. The bad guy or the person you're looking at jumps out the back door, the window, gets in a car, and starts hightailing it off in a car. At that point, your guy's going to start chasing him.
I think they're going to start chasing, but it always comes down to public safety. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was when I was a Kentucky State Trooper. At any time you feel like you're going to put some citizens or somebody at risk, we were told to just back off. I was on a task force in Greensboro, North Carolina in 2006, and that was one of the things that they definitely covered. You know, and each department has their own pursuit policy, and it comes down to maybe, you know, what the crime has been committed, what they're looking for, but it's going to come down to the policy. If I'm sheriff, I would say that I would not like for us to be in pursuit if avoidable. Mm-hmm. And if we have to, we just back off and maybe call IMPD or somebody else, state police, and see if they can assist us. But put a, what they call it, be on the lookout and try to get them later. But I don't want to put anybody
right
in at risk in the public.
Let me go to Rick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Fine.
I have a three-part question for Mr. Carney.
All right, three parts. Okay.
Yes, I'll make it. I'll be brief.
Okay.
The first part of the question would be, has he ever patrolled Marin County as a deputy or an officer? The second part of that question would be, what kind of experience does he have overseeing 2,400 inmates? And the last part of that question is, how would he manage a $110 million budget?
All right, those are all. See, that's why we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole country. They're smarter than the host. Let's go through them. Have you ever patrolled in Marion County or a similar-like circumstance?
Patrolled not Marion County, no, but I have done ride-alongs and been with various detective and uniform officers over the last 25 years in Marion County.
Does the elected sheriff, because we've had elected sheriffs who were not even law enforcement officers, the Constitution of Indiana does not require that you be a sworn law enforcement officer to be the sheriff of a sovereign county. Is it necessary to have the police experience? Could a businessman do it? Could a housewife do it?
Well, you never say never, but I think that being a law enforcement or having law enforcement experience would help prepare you better for that job.
What experience you have running an operation that has 2,400 inmates, both in the regular jail and the private jail, too?
I have no experience of running a jail.
Okay. Is there any kind of the experience that you've had, you know, in law enforcement give you, you know, any insight in how to do that?
Well, as a special agent with ATF, I was acting supervisor on a number of occasions, helped monitor a task force in Greensboro, North Carolina. And doing those responsibilities, you're both working with state, federal, local agencies, seeing that all the laws are enforced, while also managing the budget of what we would call an agent cashier. Mm-hmm. Say we had the church arson task force, and we had maybe $250,000 at our disposal for purchasing evidence, paying for supplies, and you have to manage that, witnesses, you know, informants.
All right. Next sheriff's going to have a budget of somewhere between $90 to $130 million. What kind of experience would you have managing an enterprise of that size?
I have no experience in managing an enterprise of size, but what I would do is go out and I would find somebody like, I think it's called Sigma, have people come in, crunch the numbers and look and try to see where we can cut back and reduce the budget on our end. And I think that'd be the first place to start.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's with Amos. We are talking with Emmett Carney. He is the Republican candidate for Marion County Sheriff. He would be in charge of an area larger than all five boroughs of New York City and Coney Island. And maybe even with Liberty Island thrown in. Have they figured out whether the boundary of New York includes the area where the Statue of Liberty? That's a big area. And he's running for the job. We'll talk with more with him and, more importantly, your calls for Emma Carney, Republican candidate for sheriff, after these. Oh, let me update you. Tech High School has just sent out on Twitter that all after-school activities at Tech, with the exception of the new Tech High School banquet and the music award programs, those are not canceled. All other after-school activities at Tech are canceled for this evening. But again, the alleged assailant who allegedly shot a young girl about a little after 12 noon in 1300 block of East St. Clair is in police custody. The young lady is in stable condition. She knew who the suspect was, and obviously something like that does help the men and women of law enforcement in making that the lockdown of Tech, Harshman, and School 74, IPS schools, has ended. 239-1310. 239-1310 is our number. We are talking with Emmett Carney, the Republican candidate for sheriff. Let me go to Lisa. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
This is Lisa. I have a question for the sheriff. If you were to become the sheriff, what will you do about the disconnect between the communication? Because there was always a war between the sheriff and IPD. They didn't want to come together. They didn't want to be under one umbrella. What are you going to do about that communication to make it better so this community can be safer? And I'm going to get off the phone now.
And we were talking, Emmett Carney, during the break, and I gather as you've gone out into the neighborhoods and talked to the people of Indianapolis and Marion County, even though there's you want, if you're elected sheriff, your department to stay within their lane, to stay within the five areas
yes.
that you outlined, the people want you to do more. Is that fair, whether you're in a Republican area, an independent area, or a Democratic area?
We're going to do the same, you know.
But people are saying otherwise. Even the last caller has got to want you to do more.
Well, my plan is that I've always been known as the guy that's got along with every other law enforcement agency I've worked with,
mm-hmm.
and I continue to strive to do that. I want to be a better public safety partner. I'll tell a quick story that I went to scout school with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays,
mm-hmm.
and the general manager brought us in. It was like 16 of us selected from all over the U.S., and he said at the end of the day, we got to do what's good for the order. You know, we agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got to be a public safety officer or partner. So everything that I want, I may not get. Everything they want, they may not get. But we've got to try to mend those fences. And I will tell you this, part of my staff will be people that would more than likely come from IMPD to help mend these fences and make it a better working relationship.
Is it mending the fences between the police department and the sheriff's department, or is it mending the fences between the police department and the county executive, who is the mayor?
I would say it's the police department and the county sheriff. I don't think it would be the mayor. From the guys I've talked to, I think it's just the two departments.
In terms of the current sheriff is strongly supportive of this plan to consolidate in one location, the location of the Marion County Jail, both Jail 1, Jail 2, and the criminal courts, perhaps the juvenile courts and some others, all in one big justice center. Does Emmett Carney stand on that issue?
Me on being on the outside looking in, I think it would be better for the citizens to go to one central location. I think it probably would help things run more efficiently. You'd have one core spot where everybody is housed, and the courts are there. I think it would just speed up the process. It's less risk of transporting prisoners from this location to that location. I just think in the future it would be better.
Are you supportive of what seems to be the consensus decision that this Justice Center, if it is built, would be built on the western edge of what used to be the old Chevrolet truck and bus plan on Oliver Street and White River and the railroad tracks?
I think that comes down to other people other than me. But I think in meeting with the neighborhood associations and having people from the mayor's office and IPD talk to the citizens, is that they don't understand that wherever this facility is located or placed, that it's going to probably bring a lot more economic growth mm-hmm. to that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I said this before, you know, and people worry, well, it's a jail. Well, if somebody should happen to get out, I don't think they're going to be hanging around where they're trying to get away from. But I think that it would help everybody once it gets put into place.
Back to the phones and Anonymous with Emmett Carney, Republican candidate for sheriff. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm not sure exactly how to pertain to this, but there was a matter when they were doing the, I guess, arresting people for the sex offenders, and there's an individual that was granted to be able to live at this address that he's lived at for a couple of years, and they rearrested him, and he had to move, but he had gotten permission. And also, this person is terminally ill, and even now he's on home detention, and he has to call so he can get to his doctor's appointment, and they're aware that he's very ill. And the person that he has to report to, they don't even call him back in a timely manner. Now, I understand that he's done, you know, something in his past, and that he needs to be punished for it, and he's actually being punished for it, but I'm just not understanding. And, you know, and he said that he needs not to be in so many feet of a the school or a park or anything, but they granted him, and he's been living there for 2 years, and then he had to move, and also he has a child, and now he can't even see his child anymore until after he goes to court.
Mm.
So who can we address this issue to? And, I mean, where is this person's rights? I know they still have some rights, and it seems like they're just all being taken away from them. Not saying that I support, you know, what the person has done, but if you've already been punished for it and, you know, you got to continue to, you know, register for the rest of your life, where's his boundaries at, though?
That's a good question. That is in one of your lanes in terms of not only keeping the registry, but keeping track of all these people. Does some common sense on some of these, what I would, not exceptions, they're not exceptions to the sex offender rule, but they're the different things. In other words, a sex offender who has a child, does that mean that they're restricted from even seeing their child even in a supervised situation?
That I don't know. Mm-hmm. The thing that concerns me is she said that they make a phone call, that nobody calls them back.
Right.
But what I would say is this, is one of the things I want to bring to the office is, you know, we can do our job, but we can do our job with a little bit more compassion, some common sense and understanding, and hopefully by having some compassion we can work this out and make sure that everybody understands. I mean, a simple return of a phone call is not asking too much when it's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I would like to do, is we need to have more compassion, more attention to detail, and try to shore up some of these things that could cause somebody some hardship down the road.
All right, back to the phones, and William at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Mr. Brown?
We're fine.
I have a question for your guest.
He's right here.
I have a lot of confidence in the Sheriff's Department, but how would you reconcile the fact that there are agencies in this city that think that they are more superior than the Sheriff's Department? That's one of the reasons why they won't refuse to work with you. How would you reconcile that so the safety of citizens will have more consideration?
Emmett Carney.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be, you know, what I call, you know, egos. Your law enforcement, you know, you got that, what I call that alpha dog, you know, type attitude. But what we got to do is we just got to understand that what it comes down to is we need to do our job. We need to be professional with other agencies and work and get along, because it is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all in the same game, and recognize, you know, what our role is, and we appreciate what their role is, and we make it all fit and come together.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And Larry, hi there.
How you doing, Emma?
Fine.
You know, the Republicans never surprised me as much as now. They have this young man in there. Now, he has already admitted that he don't know what to do. He is trying to run for the chief law enforcement officer of this county. He already said he don't know anything about finances. He already have said that he worked down south as a sheriff person. And he's coming up here. He don't know anything about this city. And I just think that the Republicans are putting him up there because he is colored and that they want to act like that they maybe have light colored people or something. But I'm ashamed every time that they find a candidate that is totally unqualified. So I just wonder why he's wasting his time.
Now, I think Evan Carney was smiling because he appreciated, Larry, that you called him a young man, and five or six of his gray hairs suddenly disappeared. But Evan Carney, one of the things that in Larry's statement, because Larry all you know brings out some things that listeners may be thinking, the amount of time you spent in law enforcement here in Indiana was how long?
25 years.
And that was based with ATF. Out of the Indianapolis office.
Southern District of Indiana, yes, sir.
So that means you were ATFing and looking for the illegal drugs everywhere from here all the way down to the Ohio and the Wabash Rivers.
Yes, we covered about 64 counties. We enforced the firearms laws, felons with firearms, armed drug dealers, explosive laws, arson laws. And in doing those cases, work with just about every county sheriff or county deputies throughout the Southern District of Indiana, but not only in Indiana, but other states. And he said that I don't know what to do, but, you know, I was down south as a state trooper, not as a deputy.
I got one more problem, Amos.
What, Larry?
He have just now said that he's worked with the ATF, so he is actually a federal person, and I wonder what he's going to do when the federal agencies start coming into town and saying we have too many of these people on the street who have unfit to be on the streets, and we're going to round them up and put them in FEMA camps. Is he going to enjoin them, or is he going to say, is the chief law enforcement officer of this county, no, we're not going to allow that in my county, and you go do that somewhere else? I suggest that he won't because he's a federal agent.
Oh, you really done gone on the conspiracy theory on it.
He is a federal agent.
Yeah, he is a well, he's retired. He's not a federal agent
just
now.
Retired. Zebras don't change their stripes, Amos.
All right, Larry, 239-1310. You've now been indoctrinated. You're not an official countywide candidate until Larry, you talk to Larry. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, this has nothing to do with the police officer. I'm sorry.
Well, wait, hold it. We're here talking with the candidate for sheriff, and I need you to stay.
I got one quick question. When are you going to have Social Security back on the air?
It's going to be a while before I get Social Security back on the air. He has nothing to do with Social Security.
I know it. All right.
Let me move on. Let me take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with the candidate. He doesn't have anything to do with Social Security, but he does have stuff to do with the jail, the sex offender registry, also making sure the city, county building, and the courts are protected, no matter where the courts are.
And warrants.
And warrants. You're looking for somebody that not only committed murder, but passed a bad check, and you want to get it taken care of. Emmett Carney is the Republican candidate for sheriff. We'll be back with our remaining moments after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. What's afternoon's with Amos. A couple of things having to do in personnel. There was, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a press release you put out a few months ago, maybe several weeks ago, where you have been critical of the current sheriff in terms of some of the sheriff's deputies who have, done wrong, broken rules, broken the law. First of all, if you're elected sheriff and one of your deputies or a jail guard acts up, misbehaves, break the rules, what is Sheriff Emmett Carney going to do?
Well, we're going to deal with it. And one of the things I'd like to institute at the Marion County Sheriff's Department, I've talked to guys that are deputies now, I would like to have a citizen review board.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to be fair across the board with the handling out of discipline and also with firing of employees if they have to be. But I would deal with it, you know, quickly, sharply, and I'd try to have it investigated to the fullest because there's always two sides to every story.
If you become the elected sheriff and after 2 or 3 years, let's say you had 5 or 6 of your deputies broke the rules, did wrong, you had to do what you had to do. Let's say you had a civilian review board and they seconded that and they approved that. Would it be fair if your opponent said, ah, that Emmett Carney, he's no good because he allowed people to be on there and break the rules. It's his fault.
He could say that. But I'm going to try to be the fair person. I want to have it professionally done. I don't want to be because I said so, darn it, and just my way or the highway.
There have been charges of nepotism in the sheriff's department going back. It didn't matter whether the elected sheriff was Democrat or Republican. Is that something that needs to be weeded out of the sheriff's department, no matter the political party of the person that's at the top wearing the uniform with the 2 stars?
I think it does. I've talked to guys and ladies, and they talk about the nepotism and cronyism. I'm not going to bring in friends of mine just because of friends, just to give them a job. There'll be somebody who's qualified, and the way we'll deal with the, you know, the thing I want to do is when I go in as sheriff in November is everybody will submit a resume. They will tell me what their earned rank is, and they'll tell me what their given rank is. And we will start with that resume and see if it's justified them being there. But, you know, don't be looking for me to hire my mom to be the cook and my brother to be this or that. I don't believe in nepotism. And also, I'm not going to be a sheriff that's going to be considered too pay to play, where if you give me so much money, then you get
on
this
your
promotion.
Campaign.
Yeah.
Is it also that the sheriff's department has a better minority record, particularly with African Americans, than any other law enforcement agency in this county? If you're elected sheriff, how do you maintain that?
Well, I mean, you look at me, I'm a black man, but I'm not going to limit myself just to minorities. I want to be the remnant of what the fabric that represents this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want the Latinos, Hispanics, white, black, Asian, you know, I want it to be a place where we openly accept all.
Let me go to Robin at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos and Mr. Carney. How are you guys doing?
How you doing, Robin?
Mr. Carney, I have a couple of questions, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
The first question that I have is, can you be a little bit more specific on the programs that you would implement that are not already implemented?
Okay, what I want to do is, one is outside of the juvenile detention center and it's outside of the jail. I want to have what we call a first visit program. And the first visit program is we're going to target the kids in the 8th grade and try to get them on the campus of Martin College, IUPUI, Ivy Tech, because, you know, not everybody can go to, you know, Butler or University of Indianapolis, but I want to get them on that first visit at the 8th grade year and show them what they can look forward to as they walk their way through high school. And then the other thing I want to do is, like I said, Patrick Jameson has a Project Access that works with the juvenile detention center to try to identify those that may have issues mentally, socially. But also I want to try to incorporate some programs that deal with education, jobs, you know, family programs and some mental health and substance abuse, which they already have. And then on the reentry program, I'm trying to, I've talked to Reverend Jackson on the east side about their, Clean the Green program, mm-hmm. which I think is really good in the SOS. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, but what I do want to be is I want to be an active partner with these things so that when they come out, they can get their probation fees taken care of. And why can't we as the Marion County Sheriff have our own reentry program to get these guys set up with a job when they get out? I'm talking to local, barbershops about a first cut program where they get the first haircut when they go for the first job interview. And I'm, you know, I want to get more involved with the chaplains. I'd like to have chaplains in each township that if you go to Decatur or Wayne or Center, that you know that these ministers are there to be mentors. Over the last couple of weeks, I've talked to some small business owners and they welcomely said that they would want to have guys who are trying to get back into society. And I like the idea of the reentry program with small businesses because I think they can be more of a mentor to somebody and have that personal relationship every day to help these guys get through. One of the other programs I want to do with guys getting out is Connie Lawson has a financial literacy program. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, you know, these guys get out of the Marion County Jail, they get on their feet, they go get a job, and they're making money. Then the first thing that comes into the household is that credit card application. So if we can kind of keep them, educate them with the you know, the pitfalls of a credit card, we can offer that up to them also.
All right, Andre will be our last caller with Emmett Carney, the Republican candidate for sheriff. Andre, you got a minute? Andre?
Yes, sir.
You got
I'm
one minute.
I'm just wondering, how do you feel, sir, about privatization of, like, Jail 2? Because it amazes me, and I'm not bashing Jail 2, but they play by their own rules, and I just don't find it necessary. You talk about nepotism. There is something going on, and nobody will even touch Jail 2 with all the complaints. And if you check the unemployment stats, there's enough complaints that somebody should have said something's going on down there.
If we got a regular jail and a privatized jail, shouldn't all, if you're elected sheriff, shouldn't all your jails have the same rules?
You would like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime I hear the word privatization, you know, you think about, you know, medical and right. this, you know, the bottom line when you talk about privatizing something,
right.
you got a company that's in it to do what? Make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
make
somebody
money.
Somebody had asked me if I would be in for privatizing you know, healthcare, you know, people with the Marion County Jail, but then I think you run into, you know, their job is to do what? Is to make money, and I think there's some shortfalls with that.
Right.
I'd rather have my own so we can watch over it daily. And you know, and I'll say this, when I become sheriff, my face will be seen in the jail, and we will try to be, or we won't try to be, we'll be totally transparent and try to set a brand that whoever follows
Excellent.
Me would have to say that, you know what, this is a standard, and let's keep it up. I know that throughout my years with the federal government, you have all these programs that come in, and I was at a function where the mayor was, and they said, why are we, you know, it's like, why would this program work? You know, I don't care who gets the credit, but if we've got a good program, let's keep that program and get behind it and work and make it happen.
Emmett Carney, our standard closing question with all candidates that are on the show in an election year. If people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
You can go to EmmettCarney.com.
That's what I'm looking at. It says, it says got 153 days till the election.
153 days.
I'd like to count down there. So it's Emmett Carney for Sheriff. That's EmmettCarneyFor Sheriff.com. Any other way folks can get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook. You can Google me, and you can see that I've been a public servant to the citizens of Indiana, coaching baseball and dedicating my time to the youth.
All right, he is Emmett Carney. He is the Republican candidate for Marion County Sheriff, and he'll be back on the show when we get into fall. But we thought in June we'd wake everybody up with 150, 140 days before the election, and let everybody know that they're there. Emmett Carney, always good to see you. Thanks very much for being
it.
With us.
Thank you.